Good morning, everyone. It's glad to see you today. I'm Susan Salverson, filling in for Pastor Rob while he's off having fun somewhere. I want to welcome, I don't know all of you yet, but I do want to welcome any visitors or guests and the congregation to today's service. Now, I think we should do a centering meditation from James 1. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slower yet to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And now, if you'll look in your bulletins to the call of worship, I'll do the regular print and you do the bold. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless.
Stress
and to keep oneself from being polluted by the word.
Thank you.
invite you now to rise in body or in spirit and join me in the invitation to confession. When we offer God our confession, we join the beautiful work of reconciliation, which begins with our reconciling with God. Trusting in our partner in grace, let us make our confession first in silent prayer.
Gracious and loving God, open our hearts so that we are able to admit you to the fullness of our lives, that which is beautiful and good, and that which is hurtful and hateful. We confess that we do not always follow Jesus in all we do. We love with condition, we judge and condemned. We cast the first stone and keep the logs in our own eyes. We do not turn to you as the source of our healing. Forgive us, we pray. Forgive our sins and empower us to be imitators of Christ in love and service. Amen.
Hearing the good news, Christ died for our sins and arose again that God may free us from the tyranny of judging others, to live fully in the power of God's grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, God forgives our sins and offers us a transformed future. It's a new day.
This morning I'll be reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around them, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person."
Going down the rabbit hole of sin. It's a rather strange way I came to the title of this. I was here in church a couple weeks ago, and somebody was talking about forgiveness and sins and sinners, and it just got me going on a roll. And the next morning, I woke up and spent about 2 hours going down rabbit holes. So I thought, oh, well, maybe, you know, because it got me thinking, maybe this or maybe that, or, you know, I think it was really about. And so I said, oh, wow, this sin really can take us down a rabbit hole, can it? And so, I know that there are, for a fact, there's a good number of people who have been turned against Christ, Christians, and the whole of Christianity by the use of the phrase, "Oh, we love the sinner, but not the sin." Anytime you put "but" in the middle of a sentence, you're about to negate what you just said. Many other religions spend the entirety of their lives trying to resolve why God made them to be scorned, rejected, and yes, judged to be deserving of the hate spewed upon them. Now, before I get down another rabbit hole, so I don't lose both the congregation and my point, my mind and heart the next morning went down several different rabbit holes. Those who may not understand the term rabbit hole means you're going to run into a lot of tunnels and turns and twists. Some of them are dead ends. Some of them lead to another rabbit hole where you can come out on the other end. So with that in mind, the problem is, and they use them for like a freeway, you know, they just travel around underground to stay away from predators. They're really pretty shy animals. And the problem is without a roadmap, if you go down a rabbit hole, it's easy to make mistakes and generally become twisted and turned around. One can, metaphorically speaking, mistakenly take a wrong turn and be lost, perhaps forever. Losing one's way, unfortunately, can be fatal for some. At some point, I decided to go back out of the rabbit hole that had me arguing my head about whether to delve into a deeper hole that might be sin, hate, forgiveness, and love. The path was not clearly marked, therefore it could be misleading. So I turned to scripture, which always seems to help, to light my way. The lectionary contains four scriptures this week. First, we had Deuteronomy, which is likened to a preamble to the Ten Commandments, where Moses is conveying to the Israelites who survived the desert experience how to live in grace by holding faithfully to God's ordinances. Moses is introducing or giving a preamble to the Ten Commandments and instructing them to remember the Creator who brought them out of the desert to the land of milk and honey. And I'm sure Pastor Rob would be glad there's no more manna cakes. They are to pass the ordinances down to their children and their children's children. These commandments are instructions on how to act in love, which is love the Creator, love self, and love your neighbor. No real news there. And in Psalm 15, it says, "Who shall abide in God's sanctuary? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart." In the beginning of this service, we meditated a bit on James 1:1-27, who said, "Who shall live in your tent?" And it said, "Those who walk blamelessly, tell the truth, don't charge interest, stay away from wicked ways, those who honor God, those who stand by their oaths, those who do no evil or reproach their neighbors, even to the point of enduring personal pain." Sin comes from within, it says in Mark 7. It comes within the human heart. Sin is often from the human tongue. You'll recall perhaps Pharisees were questioning, eating with dirty, defiled, and unholy hands, and the food neither had been washed. But Jesus and the disciples had not washed the hands, the food, as was the custom in Jerusalem, but it was not the custom in Galilee. The washing of hands and food is good practice, especially during pandemics. I don't want to send out the wrong signal there. But for the Pharisees, to them, it was just a ritual. For them, they saw it as necessary in being right with God. And I ask, if a person's on a long, as the disciples had been, or on a long working day, it's hot out, they're thirsty, they haven't had time to rest, and the only food is over there in that person's yard, there's an apple on a tree. Well, I know that if they were in this church, the lady who takes care of those trees would pick one and offer it to them because she does it to me all the time. I'm getting low, by the way. But is that a sin? Who here thinks that would be a sin to offer somebody an apple because it hadn't been washed, or for you to accept it because you hadn't washed your hands? The Pharisees were basically based on tradition, not on good-hearted action. The circumstance and the context of an action often changes as conditions change. Seminary, we call that context. We often forget that Jesus was most likely a Pharisee, and that's a conversation for another day, lest it becomes another rabbit hole. Today's lesson's not so much about sin and what is sin, as much as it is about how to be righteous, as described in today's scriptures. Speak truth from the heart was the first three commandments. Love God, commune with God, love basically everything and everybody. Everything that creation, the Creator has created. When we say love the sinner and not the sin, we offend both God and humanity, I think. We offend God by disobeying the Creator's commandment to love from the heart. We offend other folks when we reproach them. Looked it up just to be sure I understood. Express disapproval of through expression. Judge not if you're able to throw out the first stone in good conscience is what I've always heard. We fall short of living up to godly standards, though. When we reproach others, we sin. Sin is anything that separates us from God. Any action not inspired by love from the heart is in danger of being sinful. So we are all sinners. Now I've established some criterion for consideration in developing my theology. I feel I can go back into that rabbit hole and discern my way, my questions about loving the sinner. Knowledge is strength. Knowledge will guide me through the maze by supplying light with which to see. Now that I've enlightened myself with some information, and hopefully you'll take something from this too, there's less chance of taking a tunnel that leads me deeper in the darkness of sin. Should I take a tumble down the wrong tunnel, I'm more likely to be able to backtrack and correct any misguided turns. Some steps to follow. Always keep the light at the end of the tunnel. All rabbit holes have at least two entries, so follow paths that show light at the end of the tunnel. Avoid getting sidetracked by seemingly harmless but confusing, frustrating side holes. They often cause us to lose our way. Speaking of losing our way. Know your goal. We covered that, right? Is that not what I just said? I'll go over it. Know your goal. Sin is when we stray from the objective to love the heart, to live in truth, to stay near the Creator. Step 3, don't reproach one another's siblings. Our goal is to love one another from the heart, not tear one another down. And often, what humans may see as sinful is just difference. And their difference is the Creator's special gift. Reproaching your siblings, cousins, parents, and strangers from Samaria is not a Christian act. Judge not, as it separates us from God. This is the ultimate sin. Rather, love unconditionally, and that includes our own being. When we make mistakes, turn back, regroup. Making mistakes doesn't have to be a lifelong endeavor because we're not flawless. Even Jesus sassed his mama, so we're all sinners. Love teaches us to forgive our actions as well as the action of those who trespass against us. When life gets too confusing, complicated, remember to back out of the rabbit holes. We're designed to promote confusion. Maybe then take a walk in the garden with the one who created us. Open the ears and eyes of your heart. Hear the Creator's loving word. Never judge others by your standards, for we are all flawed. God's the ultimate judge, and my belief is the Creator is full of grace. We are all flawed, all beautiful, all loved by God. And lastly, when you leave today, take these words of love out into the street and share them with your siblings. Heavenly Father, there's so much to deal with in this world. It's hard, it's tough. It's tough just going across the street. But throughout the world, there's really a lot going on that we feel our prayers to you are perhaps our only way of dealing with it. Today, we pray for the families of the young men and women who were killed in Afghanistan in this horrible time. We pray for guidance for our president to, I don't know how to say it, maybe make best of what's a really bad situation. We pray, God, that you touch the people over there. We pray for some kind of resolution for the people who live and will continue to live in the area that has been more torn for so long. We ask for justice for those people who are being persecuted. We celebrate the joy of our families who have lived for 100 years and are grateful for everything they taught us. For this, we give you thanks. God of mercy and grace, we pray for each and every one of us. God of healing, reach out to those with cancer, with diabetes, with heart problems, illnesses of all types and manners. We ask humbly that you guide us through this COVID situation, which I'm afraid is going to be around for a while. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We serve the Lord with freedom. We worship God with joy. In freedom and joy, let us present the offerings of our lives to the Lord. There are baskets in the front and on the back, and if you want to, you can always send it into the office or contribute online.
Spirit of the living Christ, we dedicate these offerings to the protection and the flourishing of this beloved community. Undo any inclination we have to please each other, and instead equip us for creative and sustainable relationship tending. In your compassion and name we pray, amen. And so, till we meet again, go forth and spread love of the heart to your neighbors, your family, your friends.